Welcome back to In Focus. Brady Bowman with you on this Tuesday, just after 9:39 in the morning. Been talking county matters today, looking at tomorrow. I'll be with you tomorrow as well as I normally am on Wednesdays, and it'll be a full house in the K-Man Studios. We'll be talking Pott County Schools, Riley County Health Department, Manhattan Public Works, you name it. So be sure to tune in tomorrow. But right now, I am here with Riley County Commission Chairman Ron Wells and Zoning Enforcement Officer Steve Higgins. And Steve, we're talking over break. You wanted to touch more on the K-18 floodplain issues.
Yes, Brady. What happened after the K-18 was completed, actually before it got started, we started what's known as a conditional letter map revision process. And what that does is once everything is completed, they're going to look at all the drainage, going to look at the flows, and going to see how everything is. Well, they did that, and they got it completed, and we completed it this year. And floodplain's still there with the Eureka tributary channel. They actually, with all that, it narrowed it. It allowed more developable areas out there. And it also, one of the key things was it lowered the base flood elevations. Some of those properties out there, I've already been able to help get letters of map revision, which will allow them to go ahead and build and develop as they needed to. As previously, if it was in a floodway, you had to go through the no-rise, you had all these issues you had to take care of, or you had to fill because the base flood elevations were so high, 6-8 feet. That's not the case anymore with the new letter map revision. It's not out there on flood maps. You're not going to see that. That won't happen until we get new flood maps, but the information is there, and that's what we use.
Initially, the problem out there arose when we weren't allowed to increase the capacity under K-18 and of course, the railroad structure. So by virtue of K-18 changing direction slightly and redoing K-18, which meant relocating some of the railroad, then the drainage was opened up to the river, which increased the flows and got the water out of there quicker. So as Steve pointed out, changed property out there before that would have had to been elevated 6 to 8 foot of dirt, earth. Why now they're high and dry? Because the flooding was created when K-18 was virtually a dam and held the water coming off the airport and Fort Riley and areas up northwest. So by virtue of that project being done now we can be more accurate on locating what's high and dry and is not going to flood because the water can get away now.
How long has K-18 been completed now? Oh, it's still relatively new, really. But
it is. I don't know, 4 or 5 years.
Yes, it's been at least that long. It looked like there was still stuff going on out there. You know, they had to get the plannings, you know, had to get things like that. However, it's been a good 4 years or so since all the dirt work and everybody's been using K-18 as it is today.
It seems like it has been a pretty successful project and worked out right.
Well, it was done, it was going to be done in stages. It went to from Interstate 70 to the river south of Ogden. And the next two is going to be done in two more phases, but thanks to, I think Governor Brownback had, and Kansas State University and the importance, NBAF coming and everything, speeded it up so they did the entire balance of the project quicker than anticipated and in one at one time instead of in two phases. So and we benefited from it, Raleigh County and the citizens of Manhattan.
And stay with that topic of roads for just a second. I know the Native Stone Scenic Byway was announced that it was extended towards, well, really just right up to Manhattan, actually, just right by the Plain Hills Discovery Center. Update our listeners a little bit about that, whoever wants to.
Well, it's been finalized. It comes up Highway 99 and takes K-18. We signed off on the K-18 portion coming through Zinedale and Waubonsie and to 177. And we had some discussion. I wanted to take it on to McDowell Creek Road and keep it scenic, but that didn't lend itself to what they wanted to do right away. So it turns and goes south on 177 back down to Geary County. So that adds, I don't remember how many lane miles now from Interstate 70 up 99 west on K-18 all the way to the Manhattan, the city of Manhattan, and then south on 177. So there's, I think there's going to be some meetings on that. I don't have that in front of me here. There's so many things going on. We've got the Preservation Alliance board meeting. That's Thursday down at the train station at 7 p.m. That's open to the public. And then we've also got the Raleigh County's Flint Hills Gala at the Mertz Family Farm on K-18 Highway.
And I think that has a little bit to
do
with
it. Okay, that's for the support of the Native Stones Scenic Byway. And the tickets are available. You can purchase them at the door there at the Mertz Farm. And there's going to be appetizers, art, ambiance, and the proceeds all go to support that scenic stone byway. So,
and that designation, does it mean anything? Is that like a state designation or is that a federal designation? Is there any
funding? That comes through KDOT.
Okay.
That came through KDOT. That's right. And I think it's about 44 miles, you were talking about that, that they have added on to that. And it's just it's an effort to promote regional tourism for people to, you know, take a nice drive on a Sunday afternoon, whether it be on a bike or bicycle or convertible or, you know, one of Ron Wells' big pickups.
I got my red car back together there.
Did you know?
So, yeah, and then, of course, my blue racer, I'm going to take it out cruise. So I got two cars now I can cruise in. Classics.
Now, I'm thinking, I don't believe you were on the commission when we did the ribbon cutting on the K-18 bypass.
No, yet. I wasn't.
So that takes it back to like 2013, 2014, something like that. Because I remember I emceed that ceremony they had it up at Westview Church. But that was a fun day. It was a great day. I mean, and the original design of that bypass did not include an exit to the airport.
Correct.
And the city and the county both ponied up, I think, like $1.5 million apiece in order to make that happen. And if we didn't, that would have been bypassed, and your only access to the airport would have been there from Scenic Byway, from Scenic Drive, or from the Ogden.
Yeah,
from
that on
so
the Furnish Road.
There's a lot of neat collaborative efforts there.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was a great foresight in the city and the county.
One of the things that surprised me on the Scenic Byway situation, this is the stone byway that goes from 99 south. But there's another scenic byway that goes from Cottonwood Falls south down through at least Madison Green.
Right.
And that's on 177. And I've always been surprised that I think that stretch, you know, now that we've already got the four lane, and that was one of the things that KDOT said, that on these byways, they didn't want four lane roads.
Right.
But now they have that. And I was surprised that they didn't make that byway from 177 from Manhattan all the way down to Council Grove.
Good point.
And that surprised me when I read about this. I think it's a great thing.
I do too.
It's obvious. Absolutely. It's a great thing, and it's one of the things, you know, we can honor so much treasure that we have here, that, you know, from our natural resources. But that's a neat thing for the county.
One of the big things that helped for us signing off on it was the fact the fear initially was from landowners, property owners, that they were going to be controlling their property, telling them what they could and couldn't do, which did not turn out to be the case. So, I mean, there'll be encouragement to preserve your stone structures and things, but the scenic byway in no way harms any of the adjacent property owners.
And there is a stretch, Dave, you're talking about, really old 177 is a beautiful drive.
It is.
All the roads around here is a beautiful drive. We live in a pretty beautiful part of the state, and you see a lot of those stone fencings because, Ron, you mentioned it, a lot of this country is a lot of rocks. You're not going to get too far digging a hole for a post.
Bender done that. Yeah, it's being a house builder here, too, in the Manhattan area. Later, I started having a local engineer core drill a lot before I build on it, and he would tell me, for instance, the stone is down there 14 foot. Well, I'm putting in a 9 foot basement, so I knew I was good to go without any additional expense. So it's relatively inexpensive to have it core drilled and know where the rock is. Other areas, you can see the rock.
Right. It's poking right out. It is.
There's when you go out on across from Annenberg Park, you can see the big stone ledges, you know, cropping out, and And some of those ledges, I've actually built homes sitting on a 4-foot thick stone, and I knew that the house wasn't going to go anywhere. One case in Charing Brook, there's one place where I had to put a full-size concrete pool in a 6-foot thick ledge of stone.
Wow.
Yeah, that takes a little doing.
A little bit of craftsmanship there. We'll go to our last break of the hour. We'll come back and we'll finish things out with Ron Wells and Steve Higgins right here on In Focus.